paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, yet another episode of the Kickback Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Dominic. I'm here with my man, Fobs. And we are excited to get into this episode. Of course, Fobs, you were about to say something.
Double digits, man. I mean, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago was number 10. Now we're firmly in double digits with number 11. So I'm just happy to be here, man.
Yeah, me too, man. Although I will say, like, I didn't come into the pod today in a good mood. I'm still kind of recovering from yesterday's game. I know, like, we do have some football fans who listen to the podcast. You guys know my team, Portugal, got knocked out yesterday by Belgium. I still can't believe that team, Portugal, with all of their amazing attacking players, couldn't score a single goal in this game. It was sad. It was embarrassing. And yeah, man, I was hoping that they could repeat, you know, but pretty sad about the outcome.
Ronaldo, after the game, he winked at Courtois and he was like, oh, you guys got lucky. The ball just didn't want to go in. And I think, I don't want to say that Portugal played super well or played better than Belgium, but he's right. The ball just didn't, you guys hit the post. You had a couple of good headers. You had a free kick that Courtois saved very well. I mean, I think it was just unlucky in the end. You know, it wasn't like you guys got outplayed massively, in my opinion.
Yeah. Second half was all Portugal. There was so many opportunities, just not meant to be. It's sad. I mean, Ronaldo's 36 now. I don't know if he's going to be in the Euros. The next one, he'll be 39. I'm not sure he's going to be in that one. But you never know. It's Ronaldo.
If anyone can, then it's Ronaldo. And the next one's in Germany too. So that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, the entire tournament is in Germany?
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. That's really cool. Yeah. But tomorrow or today, depending on when you guys listen to the pod, that's the big game. We've circled on the calendar, of course, England versus Germany.
Well, it's almost like it's Brexit versus Europe, you know?
Kind of like that. Why are they still in the Euro tournament, though? Like, the good question, right? Like, they should just be in their own thing with, like, Scotland and...
it's EU, right, and Europe, but I think when they were leaving the EU, or when they voted for it, I think at the same time they were thinking about making a home nations tournament, which would have been the UK and Ireland just doing like their own tournament every summer as like a kind of friendly tournament. And it was just like such funny timing because they were discussing this whilst they were discussing leaving the EU. But yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the biggest fixtures in international football. I'm a little nervous. I don't know. I mean, I want and hope that Germany wins, but I can easily see this being like one of those games where nothing goes right for Germany and England shithouse their way to a win, or, you know, they score a cheeky penalty, or even they win in penalties. So I'm not very confident, but if I had to put money on it, I would say 1-0 Germany, I think.
Yeah, I'm betting on Germany too. Only because, not because I think Germany is really good this year. I think it's mainly because it's England, you know? Like, England in big tournaments, they just never seem to get it done. I know, like, you know, every big tournament, all their fans have that like slogan, like, it's coming home. Or is it like a song or something?
It's coming home.
It's a song, right?
It's coming home.
Yeah, you know, like... I believe in, you know, the whole power of manifestation, you know, like the more you say something, the more likely it is to happen in real life. But I think they need to be a little bit more specific, you know, in that song, because like it's coming home. It can mean anything. Like, it could mean like the team bus that's carrying the whole team, you know, because that definitely seems to be coming home early, like every big tournament.
Oh, so, definitely. I mean, they've only been at home, right? They've played all of their games at Wembley in London.
Right.
The next game is at Wembley again. They're actually the team that's traveled the least out of all teams.
So there you go. They've already been home.
They're already home. It's already going home. I think it'll be a really intense game. And I know in the past, what was it? 2010, Germany played and won, I think it was 4-2 or 4-1, and there was like the the Lampard goal that crossed the line, but they didn't call it. I mean, obviously that can't happen anymore with goal line technology, but there's a lot of history between the two countries, and it's definitely gonna be an interesting one tomorrow.
We can't wait for it over on this pod for sure. Actually, just an amazing time right now if you're a sports fan. You know, NBA playoffs too, just absolutely amazing every single game. This might be the best playoffs, I think, in like recent memory. Like every game for sure. Going down to like the last minute, you know.
I think all four teams, I mean, like, could win, you know, like if they made the finals. I think there's no like absolute favorite, you know.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting and it's always year. Been right, and it's always been like the West is gonna win, or you know, like LeBron is gonna win, or Steph, or whoever wins the Western Conference final. But it's pretty open this year, you know. So I mean, if you're in Europe and you can stay up that late, then it's definitely a good one.
Yeah, I'm hoping Chris Paul can take his first NBA championship. I'm rooting for the Suns personally.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Booker would be cool for him to win as well. I mean, he's been a beast this playoff, so he deserves it as well.
All right. You know what? We've been talking about sports too long. This is not a sports podcast. This is a sneaker podcast. So we're obviously going to get into latest pickups in this episode. And this episode is mainly going to focus on collabs, or we're going to be talking about are there way too many collabs? What is a sneaker collab even worth nowadays? Fabian actually has an entire article about this that recently got published over at High Snobiety. So we're going to kind of expound on that article a little bit. And we're also, of course, as usual, going to get into some big news. Huge news coming out of Nike and Louis Vuitton. Unexpected collab there. We'll get into that. And of course, we'll finish off with the upcoming drops for the next 2 weeks. So let's start off with latest pickups. I think this week actually is a first on the podcast, because I think both of us picked up the exact same shoe this time.
I was about to say, we definitely got the same pair.
Same store too.
Yeah, shout out Soulbox. So I guess, you know, people who follow us on Instagram will know, but both Josh and I, we picked up the Nike Air Jordan 1 Low Neutral Gray, which in my opinion is really beautiful. I was actually surprised at how much I liked it, you know, because it is a very simple pair, very kind of muted colorway. But I love the suede on the swoosh and the heel. I think that, you know, elevates it a little bit. And, you know, you pointed this out in your story as well. I think as far as, you know, Nike and Jordan quality goes, it's up there. Like the leather is really, really nice on these.
Yeah, very, very impressed with the leather, especially compared to the high top version that dropped earlier this year. I just feel like the leather on this low is just way nicer than the high top. And I'm actually thinking of selling my high top, to be honest. Because I don't really feel the need to have both. And I just like this low top better. Also, what I really like about this one, it's got like the OG cut to it. So like you'll notice the tongue is a lot shorter. Unlike, you know, most of the GR Jordan ones that get released nowadays, they have those really long tongues that I think look pretty weird. And it's a little bit lower cut too than some of the other GR Jordan Jordan 1 lows. So it's got that nice OG cut. I love the leather, of course, super clean. Like it's one of those shoes, you know, it's just like an everyday goes with anything type of shoe. So very happy with the pickup.
You can wear it with shorts. You can wear it with like long pants. You can wear it with like, you know, baggy jeans, something more slim fit. What I actually thought was cool was, you know, that the same shoe dropped in 2014, I think it was, like also neutral gray Air Jordan mm-hmm. 1 low, but that one, the swoosh and the heel tab are, like smooth leather. They're not suede. So like for anyone who has like the OG pair, it's pretty nice to have like both because they're slightly different as well. And it shows that, you know, I don't know, like the design has evolved a little bit, has changed a little bit, which is cool. It's like a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah, the materials are different in that pair. And also like the swoosh was slightly bigger on that pair. It was more of that OG swoosh, whereas here we're getting a much more of that modern swoosh, which to be honest, I would have preferred the big swoosh, but I'm not mad. I'm honestly really, really loving the shoe. I think I'm going to get a lot of use out of it. So
yeah,
pretty happy with it.
The only thing I don't like is that I have like flat feet, so I need to wear insoles. And you can't take the insoles out of these. You know, some shoes, they have the insole glued to the bottom, and other shoes, you can take the insole out. That's like the one thing where I'm like, you know, like that annoys me slightly, because then I can only wear them for a few hours before my feet hurt.
Oh, so you always take the insole out of all your shoes?
I have to, because I have like medical insoles. And if I don't wear those, then my feet will just be destroyed by the end of the day. And I'll like be limping. It hurts so much.
Is there any shoe that you can wear while having the insole in and it's still comfortable, like New Balance or something maybe?
It's not really about the comfort. It's about the way that my foot sits, because like the medical insole like adjusts the way my foot sits on the footbed, basically, because my foot is shaped weird, basically, if like we want to skip all the medical terms. So really there's no shoe, like I have to wear an insole with all shoes. I have like one sports insole and one regular everyday insole.
Oh, okay. Cool. Damn. So that really sucks that you can't take off the insole on this one.
Yeah.
Was there any other shoes you picked up?
No, actually that was the only one in the last 2 weeks. And I mean, yeah, I don't think there was much that really caught my eye. What about you?
I picked up the Frags, the Fragment Dunks, the high top.
You were really liking those, right?
I mean, it's a shoe I've kind of always wanted to cop, you know, like I do really like Dunk Highs. And I know there's definitely seen a bit of a resurgence over the last couple of years. And I was very surprised. First of all, like I was kind of disappointed in the leather quality of this shoe. Like it's not as good as any of the Dunk Highs we had last year, like those Spartan Greens and Michigans. And so the leather quality is quite poor. But the other thing that I was really surprised by was just the absolute lack of demand for the shoe. So yeah. The shoe is pretty much on the resale market going for retail right now. And it was actually even sitting at a lot of stores, which really surprised me, because like it's a Fragment, you know what I mean? Like there is definitely some weight to that brand. And to like if you haven't already realized that Dunk hype has kind of died, well, you got to look no further than this collab. I mean, a Fragment Dunk. One of the most iconic probably dunks ever, like that City Pack from 2010 with all the other Fragment Dunks, like that shoe retroing, and for it to be a quote unquote brick on the resale market. Yeah, that's very, very surprising for me. And also a very good indicator that we're coming towards the end of this whole dunk hype cycle.
Yeah, wasn't also like the Fragment Air Jordan 3. I'm pretty sure that before that dropped, there wasn't that much hype either. But then after it dropped, I think resale prices picked up, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure that like it sold out, but it wasn't like a massive release. But maybe that was also because it dropped during a week where there were other bigger drops or something like that. I don't really remember. Yeah. But I think there was something like that where then people only appreciated it after the fact, you know. And I think maybe that'll be the case with these dunks too, because you know, I'm personally not a huge fan of Dunk Highs or high tops in general, but I have to admit it is a nice colorway. It's kind of like that nice like plum black kind of combo. Yeah, definitely an underrated pair if you know, if you're into those kinds of shoes.
Yeah but I'm pretty upset about the quality though. I thought we would, you know, a Fragment collab, I was expecting better quality, but at least I got it for retail, so I'm not really that mad about it. So yeah, I'm gonna hold on to it. And Travis Scott has already been seen wearing it a couple times, so now people are starting to get a bit more interested in it. I've already noticed actually resale prices crept up like 20 euros or so in every size after that happened. So yeah, we'll see. I think the hype is going to come back eventually.
Sure.
But that's pretty much
collabs.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of collabs, that's pretty much it for the pickups. So we're going to get into collabs. I'm going to let Fabian definitely lead this segment, because he did write a pretty awesome article. If you guys haven't already read it, it's over on High Snobiety. And also another really cool thing about that article was the artwork I thought was really dope, like that combination of like many different brands. Like it looked like a New Balance Jordan 1 High / Yeezy 990. Like it was pretty cool. Like good job to whoever did the artwork there. But it's a really good article. I thought it brought up a lot of good points, so I'll let Fabian talk more about it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, shout out to the graphics team at High Snob, Manus and the crew. Really knocked out of the park. I mean, you know, anyone who wants to, I'll post the link in the show notes, and you can, you know, either just take a look at the images or also read the article. But the article is basically just me not really ranting, but kind of just expressing my opinion on how the how collaborations, in my opinion, have lost their value a little bit, because, you know, collaboration, in my opinion, lies at the center of, you know, sneaker and streetwear culture, right? So you always, whether it's an official collaboration like Brand X Brand or just a collaboration in the sense that people are working together on product, on design, on graphic design, on projects, on events, that kind of, on music, you know, like it's all collaboration and that's all like one big culture. And so collaboration is really, really important. And when collaborations in sneakers started, you know, it was massive. It was game changing. It wasn't, you know, an athlete co-signing a shoe anymore. It was a brand like Stussy getting an exclusive colorway, or, you know, more recently, you know, designers like Yoon An from Ambush getting her own dunk, Sakai doing some great shoes with Nike. And back in the day, I would say, like, even, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, there were big releases regularly, but it wasn't at such a clip as it is now. I feel like nowadays there's just an insane amount of releases, and it's hard as a consumer to keep up with it all, right? I mean, I'm sure you've noticed this as well, but like sometimes there's weeks where there's 2, 3, 4 pairs that you would like, but then, you know, for budget reasons, you have to choose one, maybe two, if, you know, if you have the cash flow. And I think it has resulted in a lot of good collaborations kind of being buried. And you'll see collaboration sneakers that maybe 5 years ago would have completely sold out immediately. They're sitting on shelves. And it's a shame, because I know that, you know, people worked hard on those designs. People, you know, poured their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into the project. And then to see it kind of sit on shelves and be underappreciated just speaks to what I would say is one of the bigger problems in the sneaker industry, which is that hype has just gotten too big. And it's, you know, hype meaning that you've got, you know, only one real mainstream taste, where you go on Instagram and it's pretty predictable what sneakers you're going to see every weekend or every week when people have picked up their pairs, because it's always the same shoes, or it's always the shoes that were hyped beforehand. There's never really any like underrated kind of obscure pairs anymore. But then also to feed this hype machine and to stay on top, you've got brands who they need to one-up themselves, or at least they feel the need to one-up themselves. And one big offender of this, in my opinion, is Nike. And one example I mentioned in the article is the Fragment Travis Nike Air Jordan 1, right? The highs and the lows. I mean, what genuine reason is there for Travis, Fragment, and Nike to do a three-way collab? Just like what genuine reason is there for Sakai and, you know, Clot and Nike to do a collab on an existing sneaker, right? It's not like a new sneaker. It's not part of this bigger project. I mean, maybe it is part of a bigger project, but it just seems so like forced, kind of like, oh, let's pick the most hyped brand, let's pick the most hyped celebrity, and let's pick the most hyped silhouette and put them all together and see what happens. And you know what's going to happen, right? People are going to line up for days, raffles are going to be botted, people are going to be pissed off and salty that they didn't get a pair, everyone's going to want one, and they're going to resell for an incredible amount. And yeah, I think that's like, I guess the crux of the issue of what I'm trying to get at is that hype has kind of become too big for its own good and for the sneaker industry's good. And it's caused brands to kind of lose sight of like, what really is a collaboration? You know, what should a collaboration be about? Is it important that it resells for a lot, or is it important that it kind of speaks to a niche audience? And that's where I think some brands maybe do it more authentically and better than others. I mean, we've spoken about it in the past, right, Josh, about New Balance and their strategy and how they seem to be really authentically speaking to niche communities and subcultures through their partners, right? They'll pick their partners to speak to different types of sneakerheads and different types of people. And yeah, I mean, I just went on a little bit of a rant there, but that's basically what the article is about.
Yeah, there's a lot of different parts of this article to kind of dissect, and we'll kind of get into that now. But I mean, you gave it a really good summary there. A couple of things I wanted to kind of add. So you mentioned in the past, we used to see, you know, prestigious brands such as Stussy do collabs with Nike. And what I noticed from back then versus right now is that back then you would get a brand doing a collab with a big company like Nike, and then it would be pretty well spaced apart, like for the next collab between these two brands. Like, you know, we saw Stussy drop those Stussy Dunks, I think, in like 2005. Then like a few years passed until the next collab. Sometimes we see like much longer gaps, like 5 years, 6 year gaps between the first drop and the second drop between these two brands combining together. Whereas now it's almost like a monthly thing, you know, like that time gap has narrowed from like years between collabs to months. And like you gave the example, of course, of Off-White, you know, like the first, the 10 dropped in 2017. Since then, we've had over 50 Off-White collabs, actually much more than that, if you want to count the 50 Dunks that are about to release this summer. And these collabs drop every month. We're getting a new Off-White sneaker every month. Also, you know, something as amazing as I thought the Sakai collab from 2019, the first time it dropped, Nike has over the last couple of years now done, I think, 4 of 5 Sakai collabs just in 2 years. That's way too much, in my opinion. Like 5 collabs in 2 years between the same brands. So the value, I think, of the collabs are starting to die down. We've seen consumers was pretty smart about this too. Like the most recent Sakai collab, those Blazer Lows, they're going for retail. They even sat at some stores, you know. And yeah, it's pretty crazy to think that Sakai is already sitting just like a year after, or a year and a half after, the original drop.
Yeah, like the expiry date of these, like of the coolness of these, or these, the freshness of these collabs is getting shorter and shorter. And I think that's a really good point that, you know, I didn't touch on in the article that you just brought up. Like, look at Supreme and Nike, right? In the early days, they collabed every couple of years, maybe once a year max. Then it quickly became every season. Mm-hmm. And I think in 2017 or 2018, it was twice a season. So they literally, in like 3 years, they quadrupled the amount of Nike Supreme sneakers that they were dropping. And the result was that a lot of these sneakers were then, you know, either not selling out immediately or not reselling for a lot. And I know that how much a sneaker resells for is not always the best marker for how popular and how good it is, right? And sometimes it's even a marker for if the resell is low for it being a good collab, because it means that they just kind of did what they wanted to do and stayed in their lane, which Supreme definitely does with Nike. But it just shows, like, every single season they drop 2 pairs of Supreme Nike shoes, and it just becomes boring and too much. It's not special anymore. And that's the whole thing that I was trying to get at. It's not special anymore when they're doing so many Sakai Nike drops, when they're doing so many Nike Supreme drops.
Yeah. And you mentioned in the article that the biggest brand to kind of misuse this whole collab model is obviously Nike. And you used the term unsustainable hype machine in your article. And I thought that was really, really great and really well thought of, like that particular phrase, because that's essentially what Nike has created here. They've dug themselves, I think, into a hole. And so what they do is they give us collab after collab after collab in very short periods of time, short time gaps between these collabs. And it seems like the only way they can sustain the hype of their sneakers is to just give us something crazier, something more crazy, something basically like they've created this kind of unsustainable model. So right now, like you already mentioned, they put the hottest rapper on the hottest model with the hottest Japanese brand. And now we got the fragments, right? People are going to line up. People are going to go crazy. They're going to be salty. But what's Nike going to do? I guarantee you, a couple of months from now, we're going to get the next fragment and Jordan. We're going to get the next fragment and Travis collab, basically another colorway, you know, or another model. They might make it into a whole series and drop it every like 2 months, you know, like that's essentially what they're doing. And when that collab starts to, you know, fade out a little bit and people start to lose interest, what's Nike going to do? Nike is going to be like, all right, let's take Virgil and Travis, let's put them together and let's do a massive, crazy collab. And then let's create 50 more of those every other month. You know, like that's basically what they've done here. Like the only way they can do it is just keep one-upping themselves. And it seems like, you know, the customers, they've kind of caught on to this, you know, like the, like we've seen interest in these collabs definitely die down. They're sitting on shelves. At least I'm not going to say the whole sneaker industry has misused the collab. I'm going to specifically blame Nike here, because I feel like they've really misused it. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the value of their collabs, for me at least, definitely take a hit.
I would say it's funny because I was going to jump in there and say like it, that doesn't mean that Nike's the only one doing it, right? So I'd say I agree with you. I think Nike is probably the biggest offender, maybe also just because they're the biggest brand. And so they have to kind of, or they feel they have to just keep one-upping themselves, right? Because really Nike's just trying to beat themselves. They're not trying to beat others. They're trying to make a bigger, better collaboration every single time compared to their last collaboration. But, you know, like the Adidas A to ZX, for example, I mean, I get it. And it was a really, really cool project with some cool collaborations, you know, Dead Hype from Berlin, High Snobiety, you know, Krusty, what was like The Simpsons or whatever, some really cool stuff. But like, it was 26 collaborations over, you know, just over a year. Like, it's too much, man. Like, a lot of those ended up just sitting there, and a lot of them, like, I wish they were given more time to breathe and more time to be their own thing, because so many of those ideas were cool. And it, for me, was just overkill, you know, and that's funny because Overkill actually did one. And it was a really cool colorway as well. But I think a lot of these projects, like, their brands are just trying to be bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're having these great ideas. None of these ideas are bad, and none of these silhouettes are bad, and the colorways aren't bad either most of the time. But it's just the fact that they're not giving these shoes, these products, these stories, these projects time to kind of breathe, and giving them the kind of budget, marketing budget, and love that they deserve. Because by the time they've announced it, they're already announcing the next one and the next one and the next one. And then you've already forgotten the first one they announced. And then, you know, that's why it doesn't sell out, because people are then focused onto the next thing. And I guess we as consumers have very, very short attention spans. But I think, yeah, a lot of it has to do with just giving products and projects time to breathe. And I keep coming back to New Balance when it comes to collaborations, but they don't, you know, they have a lot of collaborations, but they're not cranking them out on the same level as Adidas or Nike, right? There's space in between them. There's a coherent kind of timeline, you know, the 992s, and then you've got a 991, you've got a couple 327s. And, you know, sometimes, yes, it does get a little bit much, but there's time to breathe in between them. So like, if you're someone who only buys New Balances, I don't think you were overwhelmed. But if you're someone who buys only Nikes, pretty sure you were probably overwhelmed.
New Balance, so far at least, I agree with you. They've done a pretty good job. They've done a really good job of coming up with a very authentic and like each of their stories, each of their collabs have a certain story to them, and they feel fresh and the ideas are fresh. I like them. They're starting to kind of, you know, make some of the Nike mistakes, let's call them. Like, we saw the Casablanca 327s they dropped last year. Was it last year the original? Yeah, it was last year the original.
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half, so it was like early 2020.
Yeah, and now since then they've already dropped two other colorways of the Casablanca. So there was four? Oh yeah.
So it was the first ones, which were the white and orange and white and green ones.
White and green.
Then it was the all white ones with a different colored N. And then you had two pairs of like the monogram pattern.
Correct.
So yeah. it's been four total, with I think probably some more coming up as well. I think there's been some rumors or something. So
yeah, so you can see New Balance starting to kind of do that. So already now with Casablanca, we have on the 327 five colorways in less than 2 years. We just saw this weekend the second colorway between Salehe, Bembury, and New Balance drop. And that was like a very short time gap too between the colorways. So we're starting to see New Balance maybe, you know, start to fall into this trap of hype. So I'm hoping they kind of stop themselves and, you know, go back to being, you know, that kind of like that underdog company that's, you know, very much has a really good collabing strategy. So I'm hoping they're not taking lessons from Nike.
I think, yeah, that's a good point, that it's, there's a fine line, right? So like you said, the Casablanca one, a little bit too much in one direction. Joe Fresh Goods, on the other hand, they got the 992 last year and they've got the 990 V3 this year. I think that's okay, right? Once a year, different silhouette. Or Bodega, for example, they had the, they had the 990 V3 as well. But before that, they had, I forget what the model's called.
It's 997s, I think.
997S or something like that, right? The sport version, the more modern one. So they had three or four colorways of that. I think it was three.
Three.
And so that was three spread over 2 years, 2.5, 3 years. I think that's fine, you know, because it's again, a coherent story. And it's not like all three colorways dropped one time and then they had another two colorways and another two colorways like you have with, the off-white Nike sometimes. But you're right, there's a fine line. And on the other side of that line, actually, which is another point in the article, and I don't know if you were going to bring this up, but a lot of brands have now gone in-house, right? So Reebok has brought Kirby in-house to from Pierre Moss to revamp their whole creative direction. You've got Jerry Lorenzo at Adidas Basketball. You've got Teddy Santis from Aime Leon Dore at New Balance Made in USA. So Kiko Kostadinov at ASICS, which is one of the first ones to be announced, I think. And that's another strategy, which is quite interesting. I don't know how you feel about that, like bringing the collaborator in-house and giving them kind of more power and more access to resources.
Yeah, I think so. Like some of these collaborators are just really, creative geniuses, like having a guy like Teddy Santis, I think, as the creative director of New Balance Made in America. Now that means even the GR 990s or whatever, they're going to have some of his influence to it. And I think that's great. I mean, Adidas they've had the strategy for a while. I mean, they brought Yeezy in-house, right? And that's their biggest thing that they have going, right? Like that was a genius move on their part. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. And if we start to see that more, then I guess there's going to be less of these collabs coming because these creative directors just work for the brands themselves. So we'll see kind of where that goes. But speaking of collabs, we had some big news this week, big news about a collab dropping. So this is looking like it's going to be a Air Force One collab on no sorry a Louis Vuitton and collab on the collabing why am I losing my train of thought here the it's just such a crazy collab that I'm just losing my speech. But yeah, the Louis Vuitton Nike Air Force One, there's a lot of different colorways that have been leaked. I've lost count. I think there's more than 10 of them. We don't know what the official number is.
I read that there's 100 colorways.
Wait, what? 100?
I don't know if that's true, but Iben Jasper, Iben, right? I think he also does Virgil's hair, but he used to be or started out as Kanye West's personal hairdresser or barber.
Wait, he does Virgil's hair?
Well,
isn't Virgil bald?
Okay, well, yeah, I guess maybe he used to. I don't know, but he definitely did or does Kanye's hair, and he's got his own projects going as well. But he started out as Kanye's barber, and I think he's from Chicago as well. And he posted or commented something like 100 colorways and posted a picture of the Louis Vuitton Air Force One. So I'm pretty sure that that's going to be the case, which makes it even more nuts, right? That like we were just talking about oversaturation and like too much and like, how crazy is, Virgil Abloh's the 50 with Nike. Now Virgil Abloh's Louis Vuitton is doing the 100 with Nike, absolutely nuts. Let's start with like, what do you think about the actual shoes, like the colorways, the designs? What's your opinion on those?
I actually really, really like them. So I think it's probably one of the best collabs we've seen between a luxury brand and a general footwear manufacturer, probably ever, I would say. Like in the past, we've seen Adidas try to do it, like on the Superstar with Prada. They made these superstars and they're just such a boring collab. I mean, it was just a superstar with the word Prada written on it. Even the Dior Jordan 1s that dropped last year, I was very underwhelmed by that collab. I was expecting, when you hear Dior and Jordan, you know, you're expecting something much more than what that final product was. So I thought that collab was disappointing too. And then these though, like these go hard. Like, come on, there's so many dope colorways. I know a lot of them kind of look like bootlegs, you know, like we've seen, this is not something new. Like we've definitely seen Air Force One customs in the past that have like Louis Vuitton, the monogram all over it. A lot of like sneaker customizers have been doing this for years, which is funny because like Nike just got a trademark on the Jordan 1, right? But to stop bootlegging on the Jordan 1, but it looks like Nike is like kind of bootlegging the bootleggers here, right? So that's kind of what's happening. But like either way, like I think some of those colorways I thought were amazing. I really love the brown one, just the classic brown, like the light brown and the like the tan, which kind of just looks like they took a Louis Vuitton handbag and like made a shoe out of it. I think that looks super, super hard. Also just like the general two-tone colorways, like there was this yellow one, which I thought was super nice. Even the all white one, you know, just the all white with the Louis Vuitton monogram and the big swoosh. Like this collab is super hard. Like I know if there's going to be 100 colorways, I'm personally like quite upset about that because we just talked about how there's just way too much going on, way too much sneaker collabs. And if there's really 100, man, that definitely kills the collab a little bit for me. But as far as just the looks, I really like them. What do you think?
So funny, because you mentioned that they look like bootlegs. I actually wrote an article on Friday about how they're not a collab. They're a bootleg, right? Like unofficially, but officially they're a collab, because that's exactly what they are. And I think, like, if I'm reading into Virgil's work correctly, I think it's kind of a shout out to bootleg culture. And like, because again, bootleg culture is streetwear, you know, is at the core of streetwear, and it's sneakers. And I think he's legitimizing that and kind of, it's an homage to those creators and those independent kind of customizers and bootleggers that came before him, like Dapper Dan, Warren Lodas, of course, was a big one the last couple of years, Ari in New York. But I, in terms of whether I like them or not, I would have to say I like them. I think there's some colorways that are really, really nice because I like the off-white Nike Air Force One. Mm-hmm. Where I'm disappointed is that these are basically an off-white Air Force One with Louis Vuitton branding. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they've got the same tag on the swoosh. They've got the same sideways tag on the tongue. They've got the same kind of deconstructed look. They've got it just seems to me they've got the same text underneath the swoosh, you know. So it seems to me like Virgil has literally just taken his Nike his off-white Nike Air Force One design and then slapped a monogram all over it, or slapped the Louis Vuitton materials on it, or something like that. So I think I would have wished that it was a little bit different, because for me, it just seems like they've just slapped a third brand on top of a two-way collaboration already. So that disappoints me a little bit. But there are, of course, that being said, there are some colorways that I would love to wear. Like I love the green and white ones. The yellow and white ones look really cool. Mm-hmm. The all white ones that you were talking about, I think those can be customized. So like they're a low and then there's an insert and you can make it a mid. Mm-hmm. And then you can take it out, which I think is really cool, because that also speaks to kind of like deconstruction and customizing and like making it your own. Yeah, I would say overall, definitely kind of very attention grabbing. If there are 100 colorways, then I'm wondering how they will drop them as well, and how many of each there will be. You know, if it's what, like, you know, if there's only 20 or 30 pairs of each. I mean, yeah, definitely a game changer though. And yeah.
I was wondering if, like, just looking at it, is it really just a Louis Vuitton and Nike collab? Because like you mentioned, they do kind of really look like the off-white Air Force Ones. And there's even, you know, like the quotations and the the same side tags. So I'm wondering if it's actually like a triple collab with Off-White.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I doubt it. I think it's literally just because it's Virgil involved, and obviously Virgil is involved with both Louis Vuitton and Off-White, having founded the latter and is creative director at the former. But I think it's definitely just Louis Vuitton, Nike, but because that's like his aesthetic, he's kind of applied that. That's why I'm a little disappointed that he just applied the same aesthetic to that instead of coming at it with a fresh kind of look. Like, I think it would have been even better if all the colorways were the same, all the materials, everything, but the writing underneath the swoosh was gone. The little tag on the swoosh is gone. And it just looks more like a Louis Vuitton Nike collab and not like a Louis Vuitton custom on top of a Off-White Nike Air Force One. But hey, maybe that's the point. Maybe it's supposed to look like a bootleg on top of a collaboration.
Yeah, maybe that is the point. But I do agree with you. They look very much like some Off-White sneakers. There are some very out there colorways, though. I don't know if you saw that brown one that had like pictures of like goblins on it. Like some of them had like these cartoon goblin pictures on them and some other like weird monsters. It was kind of like cartoony looking. So I don't know where that inspiration came from, but yeah, there's, and some of them definitely also kind of look like Bapes does, like some of those rather crazy metallic ones. They reminded me of some Bapes does. So yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was pretty interesting, but like, yeah, let's see if we actually, what do you think retail is going to be on these?
Oh man, honestly, my wallet doesn't want to know. But I think.
You think over 1,000?
Yeah, I could see them being over 1,000, because like regular Louis Vuitton sneakers are probably what, like they start at like 600-700 euros or something like that. Unless Nike kind of drives the price down, but considering it looks like they use the same materials that Virgil has used on jackets, handbags, and you know, other accessories in his Louis Vuitton range, so it's obviously Louis Vuitton quality and materials. I can see it being Louis Vuitton price as well. I mean, look at how expensive the Dior Air Jordans were, right? So
yeah, those are, the retail was less than 2,000. I think it was like 1,800 or 1,700.
No, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it 2,000 euros and $2,200 or something like that?
Oh, okay, all right, that's definitely pretty high.
Yeah,
I don't know how Virgil has time for all this. He just seems like the world's busiest guy. I mean, this guy is like creative director of Louis Vuitton, like still the, I don't know, CEO, I guess, of Off-White. And like, if you look at his Instagram, like it seems like literally every night he's DJing in some city around the world. Like, how does this guy have time? Like, it's crazy to me.
But I think it's just a lot of delegation and creative directing, you know, like he's not doing everything, right? He's directing a team of artists and telling them what he wants, and then they show him what they have. I assume. I mean, I don't want to act but I know.
Even that though, like that seems like something that would take up a lot of time, just managing so many people too. So
he's probably one of those like super successful people that sleeps like 4 hours a day, you know, or yeah, 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty much it for the news. Let's quickly kind of get into upcoming drops. It seems like I was looking through the upcoming drops, pretty quiet, I think, for the next 2 weeks. I just have two here that are worth talking about. First is on the 1st of July, we're going to be getting the worldwide release of the Bodega 990 V3s. It already released on the Bodega website, but the New Balance website, and I think some other retailers will be getting it as well on the 1st. Nice. So I'm excited about that because I know it seems like this year is the year of the 990 V3. We saw already a Kith collab. We saw already a Joe Fresh Goods collab, which was super colorful. But I think the Bodega one is probably, I think, the most wearable and maybe even the nicest, the cleanest one we've seen, the cleanest collab we've seen this year, I think, on the 990, and probably the one I want the most too. So I'm going to definitely be trying to go for that. And then also on July the 3rd, we will be seeing the Jordan 4 and the white Oreo colorway. That's a very, very, very clean colorway. It kind of looks quite similar to the white cement pair from a couple of years ago that a lot of people say is like the best Jordan 4 colorway of all time. I like that one. This one is super clean too. Very, very clean colorway. White Jordan Forest, can't go wrong.
That's so. It's almost too clean though. Like,
I get what you mean though. Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same. I'm like, it's almost like, it's almost too white in a way.
There's something. I feel like there's a tiny bit missing somewhere. Like they just forgot to like paint one thing. But yeah. I mean, the Jordan 4 is dope. One of the best ones in my opinion. And I don't think you can ever go wrong with an all white pair or a predominantly white pair. So that's a decent one. I have. Is that you done with your upcoming drops? Yeah,
that's it.
So I thought the same as you that it was relatively quiet, and then I had a quick look, and I found these actually, which are a bait. I don't know if you can see this on my screen.
Looks like a superstar of some kind.
No. So it's a it's called the Montreal, and it was a it's like an one of those like typical Adidas Originals like sneaker silhouettes. And it was released during the Olympics in 1976.
In Montreal.
Exactly. And so Bait, a retailer, has collabed with Adidas on these. And the inspiration is One Punch Man, which is like this anime. I'm hoping that it's anime. It's like this cartoon dude who like has a really, really strong punch and can like do crazy things with that. I don't watch anime, but I think it's a really, really dope colorway. It's got this yellowy orangey base with red stripes and then a really nice white sole. So that's coming out June 30th at Bait. And then the Adidas 4D Futurecraft is dropping in triple black on July 1st. And you know me, I love 4D. So those are definitely on my radar. Not a huge fan of triple back sneakers, so I'll probably pass on these, but I just wanted to point that out to anyone who was looking for, you know, a triple black 4D pair that also looks nice. And then on July 2nd, there's also the New Balance Tokyo Design Studio 574, which is this special edition 574, which is like the original dad shoe, right? Mm-hmm. But it's got like this more elevated kind of formal take. So it's got like a rugged ridged outsole and less branding. And it just looks like a kind of like a formal dress shoe, but it's a sneaker, which is really nice for anyone who's, you know, got any weddings this summer. Wedding season's coming up. So that drops July 2nd. And then the last one is the New Balance 990 V1 returns on July 9th. So I know
the 1982.
Exactly. The original
model.
The OG. And it's not my favorite from the line. I know we agreed that the V3 is our favorite, but the V1 for anyone that wants it, obviously also a collector's item, is dropping on July 9th at various retailers.
In the gray colorway.
In the classic New Balance gray colorway.
Nice, nice, nice. I looked at that shoe. Yeah, I'm not, compared to the other 990s, probably my least favorite, I would say. I'm not sure if it really aged well. But it's for a collector for sure, collector's item.
Yeah, I mean it's very kind of 70s style or I guess 80s style New Balance shoe. So it looks very much like the 500 series, the 574.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not my favorite, but you know it is a classic and maybe has some sentimental value to some collectors out there. So if you're looking for the 990 V1, that drops July 9th.
Yeah, and that's about it. Another jam-packed episode, a lot of sneaker news to get into, and we hope we didn't collab you guys to death in this episode. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't already read it, we'll leave it in the show notes. The article, what are sneaker collabs worth nowadays on High Snob? We'll leave that in the show notes. And thank you guys once again for listening. Go Germany tomorrow, and yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
See you guys.